It's actually really good to be with you folks today. For those of you who don't know, my name is Josh Greiner. From what I understand, you had the opportunity to meet my twin brother, John, earlier this week. Is that correct?
Yes.
So clearly you understand which one's the better looking one now. We'll leave that in ambiguous terms. I actually used to, as Pastor Rob mentioned, used to be on staff here at Faith. Faith West, this building that you're in, used to be basically home base for me. I was a part of the team that helped develop this and served on the staff here for 10 years. And the Lord eventually called me to, and we'd always said never, but the Lord called us to Michigan. My wife and I always thought if we were ever leaving Indiana, we would go south. The Lord took us north, so I don't know what to make of that. I did tell them when I was heading over there that I felt a little like Abraham sojourning to the land of Canaan. We were leaving Indiana, the land of the free, to go up north. So anyways, I hear some owing with all of that. So today we're going to talk about a theological vision of integration, and I wanted to do this topic partially because as I've interacted with counselors, as I've interacted with people in the counseling room, I obviously believe in the sufficiency of the scriptures. My coming to biblical counseling was, I was a Purdue student in the summer of 2006, lost as a ball in high weeds. And I actually came to a worship service at Faith that summer, and the senior pastor, Steve Viers, was talking about a biblical counseling conference that he was going to go speak at in Brazil. And I remember sitting in the congregation thinking, I need that kind of help from that man. And so I emailed him even that day and just said, here's who I am and here's the kind of help I need. And you were talking about it. That's what I really hope to get from you. And he said, do you remember I'm like going to Brazil to do a counseling conference? So I can't help you, but let me give you our college pastor, Brent Oquin. Now, have you guys had a chance to meet Brent yet? I know it's, okay. So I had met Brent. I was just in the worship service, and I was thinking, well, I'll do what my generation does. This was 2006, so the internet was still new, but it was around. So I figured I could find out who this guy was. I went to the Faith's website, found his picture, and I remember verbally saying out loud, that man cannot help me. He is a nerd. But I didn't really understand why the scriptures were sufficient and why an aeronautical engineer could ultimately help me with life's problems. So that was my view. Told Steve, thanks but no thanks. The next Sunday, because he was gone, Brent was preaching. And part of Brent's struggles back then was he had a large fear of man when he was going to speak. So he was doing some self-counsel, came out of the room, and he saw lonely college guy sitting by himself. Went up to introduce, talk to him, get the focus off himself onto others, and then he preached Psalm 73, which was the message that I needed to hear. And so I say all of that in part just to highlight, I believe in biblical counseling because it is biblical. We do it not because we've measured the effectiveness of integration, Christian psychology, levels of explanation, transformative psychology. And we say, okay, this one has better outcomes on whole or in specific areas, but it is biblical. And secondly, because in my own life, it has transformed me. And I've seen counseling transform so many other individuals. So that's part of my story, and that's part of what brings us to this lecture. Some of you may be certified with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, or you may have some certification with another organization. In that process with ACBC, you have to very briefly interact with one of the other main methods of care when it comes to Christian counseling and discipleship. There are generally five branches. You guys may be familiar with the Five Views book. And you just have to kind of pick up one of the arguments and respond. And that generally, although I'm not saying exhaustively and exclusively, but generally that is the amount of experience and interaction that biblical counselors will get when it comes to how other people are thinking about this topic. And where I think the danger in that lies is that when people come into your office, into your home, wherever it is that you're trying to provide care for them, there's often an inability to communicate well beyond, well, we just use the Bible, and that's what we do. I'm not saying, again, that that's a bad explanation, but what I want this lecture to do for us is two things. And I'm not saying, I think when you guys heard, for example, my brother's lecture or some other ones, you're like, I'm going to go apply this today. Like, as soon as I get home to my counseling ministry, this is going to revolutionize how I think about things. I'm not saying that this lecture will do that. I am saying, and I hope that this lecture will, one, give you the tools so that if you need to discuss with a person in your congregation, a member of the community, or somebody who's actually come to you for counseling, help me understand the differences, and they want more than a superficial answer, that you will then have the research that I have done for you to respond more accurately. Does that make sense? That's goal number one. Goal number two that I hope is that by seeing the answers that I have taken, I've literally pulled them out of their own writing, that by seeing those very words that they have written, that you will be even more encouraged and more committed to biblical counseling than ever before. Does that make sense, guys? So I hope that this encourages you, because right now there are elements in the biblical counseling world, and this has been a part of the process since the beginning, that begins to drift to integration, that begins to say it's okay. And I'm not mad, I'm not here to shoot and fire at anybody and say those people aren't going to heaven, but I want to lift the very words that they say about the process and the way in which integrational counseling is done and show you, and we're going to do this together. So you have to put your thinking caps on a little bit. I'm going to ask you, those of you who are in the room, to participate with me and highlight, based on the sections that I've lifted, what are the logical and theological problems that are being presented with these statements. Does that make sense, guys? So I know you're thinking, Mike's going to do all the talking for us. But no, you guys have to do some of the talking as well, all right? So that is the goal. That's why we're talking about it. How are we going to do this? I've listed the two resources that I'm going to use primarily, that I'm lifting these quotes out of. These are what are known as the Five Views books. I'm not saying you have to own these books. These are two types of books, one primarily philosophical, one primarily practical. This one here, Grego, he's the editor, that's the practical book, that will discuss the five most common views in Christian care. And I listed those very intentionally in my introduction, being levels of explanation, integration, Christian psychology, transformative psychology, and biblical counseling. What we're focusing on today is only one aspect of those groups, and that is what you guys have probably heard about before, integration. So we're not going to examine Christian psychology, transformative psychology, levels of explanation, etc. We're going to look at integration specifically. That's what we're here to do today. Okay, then what are we talking about when we talk about integration? Again, remember, all of these quotes, everything that I put up there is literally lifted from the authors of these chapters themselves. So if you're saying, well, Josh, I don't think that's a very fair definition of integration, it's not my definition. And that's why I've gone through the painstaking work of not only reading these chapters and pulling these out, but citing for you the very pages in those books so that you have that as a resource. And here is how they define integration. Integrating Christianity and psychology is living out the lordship of Christ over all existence by giving his special revelation, God's true word, its appropriate place and authority in determining our fundamental beliefs. That's what it's doing about practices toward all reality and toward our academic subject matter in